Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, y'all, it's producer Jim. Y'all know how Woody loves his convicts through the app and his lifers on Patreon. These are the subscription-based services that Real Life Real Crime offers. There's everything from bonus episodes to Ask Woody Anything. All kinds of offerings take place through the app and through Patreon. So Woody wanted to release a never-before-released episode out of the vault so that all of you could get an idea of what you may be missing. Now stay tuned after this episode. We also have an extended interview that Mike and I and Woody did with the folks at Parrish Forensics and Louisiana Pet Crematory. It's really interesting, and that will be immediately following this episode. So here it is, never before heard outside of the patron in the app, passive aggressive.
The other rights remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to or during any question. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. Do you understand your rights?
And the wolf is at your door. You're running so, but that's for sure.
Warning, this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast may contain descriptions of acts of violence or that of a sexual nature and should be for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people. I do not get the facts of these cases off of the internet or from some television show. The facts I'm retelling you were presented to me by the victims of the crimes or the perpetrators who committed the crimes against the victims. My descriptions of the crime scenes, what I saw with my own two eyes. If you're going to get offended, please turn this podcast off now. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. As always, I'm your host, Woody Overton. And if you're listening to this, that means you're a patron member. And I want to tell another little funny story today. It's not really funny, but tell you a real life, real crime story, okay? And this is going to go back to my time in corrections. I guess in like 1997, maybe 98. And I was working as a supervisor for the Florida Parishes Juvenile Correctional Center. Okay, let me explain this to you. First of all, for all you patron members outside of Louisiana, we have parishes and not counties. And the Florida Parishes Juvenile Detention Center is what it's called, because they don't call it a jail or whatever because they're juveniles. And it is a lockup for the worst of the worst of juvenile offenders. Now, there's several different schools of thoughts on juvenile offenders and all that, and I get that. But some kids, juveniles, are just inherently bad. or they done some really bad shit. And the Florida Parish JDC house, it's not a hug-a-thug program. This is for badass kids. They get locked up for murder, rape, armed robbery, serious charges. I'm talking about real bad shit, okay? And most of the ones in my later years, I went on, if they did juvenile life or whatever and they got out, I met them again in my later career as a detective, including murder and rapes and stuff. So I don't want you to think these are like innocent babies who are misunderstood and have a bad home life or whatever. I mean, I'm talking about serious shit. So FPJDC, Florida Parish Juvenile Detention Center. I was a supervisor, and it covered Livingston Parish, Tangipahoa Parish, St. Helena Parish, Washington Parish, and St. Tammany Parish. So I think it was five different parishes that had elected to have a tax base that paid for this detention center, which is basically a jail or prison, where juveniles, they got arrested for serious offenses, got locked up until their court date and their sentencing, all right? Now, let me describe a little bit overall to you. When you pull up to it, it looks like a jail. It has the concertina wire, high fences all the way around, et cetera. And you can only go through the front door unless you're bringing an inmate in through the sally port. But it's a maximum security facility. And when you walk in through the front door, you have to be buzzed through the control center. You walk through, they buzz you through, the door closes behind you. It's called a sally port or a man trap. And then the interior door is buzzed, and you walk in to the main lobby. Right off to the left of the main lobby is what we call the administrative offices, et cetera, where the warden and, you know, the whomever else, the support staff was. Directly in front of you was the control center, as the brain of the front part of the detention center. And when I started there, it wasn't as big as it was or as it is now. They only had, when I started there, they had two pods. They had an admin seg, which was like four cells in the front. When you walk past that control center, the kitchen was on the right and the mess hall was on the right, and you walked in through another door. Prisons are all about doors. You walk through another door, and they had four admin seg cells, or they're not cells because it's solid doors with a little glass slit that you could look through, and a trap door where you fed them through, et cetera. And you walk past that, then they had a tier to the right and a tier to the left. Well, as the years went on, the crimes were growing so much, the tax base was growing so much, et cetera, they added a whole new wing onto the back of FPJDC. So you walk past the original ones I told you about, and then you could get buzzed through another door, and there's another control center that ran four more tiers off the back. 1, 2, 3, 4, if you're looking at go left to right or clockwise or counterclockwise, whatever. It was a lot, right? And in the back of that was the gymnasium and all that stuff. And in between those two were the classrooms. Now, kids that got locked up for offenses, and they're in there for a long time because, you know, justice rolls slow, right? They had to go to regular school. So, but the process was, every kid was isolated in their own cell or room, whatever you want to call it, and they had no contact with another kid, except for when they came out, their tier, their pod, they lined up, and they took them to chow or the mess hall, and they lined up. They couldn't talk to each other. They had to walk with their hands behind their back. It was real strict shit, right? But you're dealing with a bunch of bad people. Not all of them, I guess. Some of them may have been innocent, but we're talking about murderers and rapists, et cetera. And so everything was really strict, real restricted. In the daytime, they did take them to normal school classes if they weren't acting out or doing something violent, et cetera. They'd take them, put them in regular school classes. Louisiana State school curriculum had to be followed, et cetera, so they didn't fall behind in their schoolwork. So to my story, the difference in the type of juveniles you're dealing with, like some of them, I told you, are murderers and were violent, and they would attack you or attack staff or attack other juveniles, et cetera. Some of them are what we call passive aggressive, and I'll explain that in a second. So, but you had all types but this is not, you get it out of your mind that kids, and I say kids, I'm talking about anyone 17 or under, that kids won't kill you or rape you or do the bad things, because they will. And whether it's a learned behavior or not, I'm not judging on that. What I'm telling you is it's there. Okay, it happens. It happens every day. Whether it's dumb choices, their brains aren't developed enough yet or whatever, it's just a real deal. So let me get to the story. I was a supervisor on the night shift. And that first, when they built the extension on, the back four pods or whatever you want to call them, they also built a new admin seg or lockdown tier, which had like 8 cells. It was off to the right side of the building, and they were really restricted, right? I mean, these look for the worst of the worst. These are not for what they did on the outside, whether it was murder or rape or whatever. This is for how they acted on the inside. When you get on the inside, if you attacked a staff member or you attacked another juvenile or tried to rape somebody, whatever, maybe attacked a teacher, and that happened a lot. You couldn't pay. My wife's a teacher. You couldn't pay me enough money to let her teach there, right? Because you're dealing with the worst of the worst. And a lot of them, unfortunately, like I said, grew on to be adult offenders also. Anyway, you walk past the first control center and bust through that door. The mess hall's on the right, classrooms on the left. Bust through the next door. That's where the original 4 admin seg cells were, or lockdown was. And then you walk through that door and you go through the new back part of the prison. So I was supervisor and had a radio, and you know, we didn't have I carried mace or freeze plus P, but I remember, I don't know what night of the week it was, but we had females that worked with us, female correctional officers, and they would go through and they would check, you know, you look through the glass slit in the window, and you got to make sure everybody's alive, and you make your rounds or whatever. So a girl, I won't say her last name, or a correctional officer, her first name is Jean. She's dead now, and that's why I'm not going to say her name. But she was making a round through the first 4 admin seg tiers, and she came back up, and she said, you need to go down and look at Big Rodney. That's what we called him. He was a frequent flyer. He had been in and out many times. So this time he was in for rape. And his grandmother, he raped her and beat her and stuffed her in the trunk of the car and left her, I guess, for dead. Somebody found her. I don't know how it all worked out. But Rodney had been in there several times, and he was like 5'11" and 400 pounds. And he talked in a little girl's voice. Sergeant Overton, how are you doing? You know, but he could be very, very, very violent. And we knew this from his previous charges, et cetera. But anyway, she came up. June said, Woody, Rodney is down there acting a fool. I said, what happened? She said, I went and looked in his window. He was naked and he's beating his meat. And I'm like, oh, fuck, here we go again. Because the problem with Rodney was, or any juvenile, if you catch them committing a crime inside the prison, you had still had to extract them from that cell and then go put them on, in this case, it would have been the new admin seg tier, segregate them from anybody else, right? So I knew if I put them on the new admin seg tier, I wouldn't send a female down there to look through those windows. She said he was beating his meat. And I said, was he naked? Yes, he was naked. He's beating his meat. And I said, what did he do? He said, hey, baby, watch me stroke my meat. And she was like, Rodney put it up. And he said, no, you come in here and get you some of this. Come in here and suck on this. And I was like, all right. I said, Gina, I'll take care of it. No worries, right? So I walked through. I said, buzz me through. She went in the control room. I said, buzz me through. And I walked through and I went. I mean, it's right there close. I went up to his door. But when I got to his door, I couldn't see through it. It was brown, the window I'm talking about. And the window slit runs vertical, maybe 18 inches up and down. Couldn't see through it. Totally brown. Well, I already knew it was literally a shit show because Rodney had done this to me before when we had dealt with him before. When he knew he did something to screw up, he would be passive aggressive. And the first thing he would do is shit himself, and he would cover himself in shit. He would cover the window in shit so you couldn't see in, so he knew you had to come in. And he would just lay there on the floor covered in shit, and you had to go in there and deal with him. So I go down there, and I see the windows covered in shit. I'm like, fuck, here we go already, right? So go back up to the control center. I hit, they all had speakers on themselves, so you talk to them. And I hit the button. I said, Rodney, it's Sergeant Overton. I said, I'm coming back down there. I'm going to want you to clean your window off so I can see you, and I'm going to talk you out of it. It's no big deal. What have you? He said, fuck you, Sergeant Overton. You come on down here. You know what you're going to get. You're going to get my shit all over you. I said, well, Rodney, you know I'm not going to do that. I said, I'm going to come down there, and you're not going to like what it is that I have to do. I said, but you're going to comply. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to come down, I'm going to open your trap door, which, y'all, that's the food slot. It's like halfway down the door. You have to open it with a key, and it folds out. And that's where you put the food tray through, and also they have to turn around and put their hands back through so you can cuff them up if you're going to take them somewhere or whatever. He said, fuck you, I'm not doing it. Come on down here. Get you some of my shit. Get you some of my shit, big man. I said, Rodney, you're not going to like it. He said, I'm telling you, I'm not doing shit. I'm not doing anything. I'm sitting right here on my bunk, in which, y'all, the bunks were solid cement beds. And he said, I'm going to sit here right here on my bunk, and you're going to have to come in here, and you're going to have to get your shit, my shit, all over you. I said, Rodney, I'm not doing that, Hoss. I said, I'm going to come down there, and you will comply. I said, but I'm not going to touch you. He said, well, come on in. Come on in, big boy. Come on. I said, all right. So I got, y'all, this for video cameras readily available. And like now, every time they do a cell entry, they videotape everything. Well, guess what? I'm not entering the cell because I've done it before with Rodney. I know he literally, he smears the walls with shit. He covers his body with shit. He does everything. And I've had to play in Rodney's shit before. So I told my, God, what was his name? Marcus, a guy that was working with me, and Van Wolf, who was a lieutenant. I told him, I said, y'all come with me. I'm going to go down here. And they were like, you know, we got to go in there and get shit on us again. I said, nope, we're not doing that this time. So I walked down, and I banged on the door. And I said, Rodney, I'm opening it. You could smell the shit. It was bad. I don't know what this kid had been eating. And I say kid, he was 17. I don't know what this guy had been eating, but it stunk the whole fucking hallway up. And so I went down, I banged on the door, hold my nose. So Rodney, I'm going to open the trap door. I'm going to give you three chances to turn around, back up, put your hands to the door so I can cuff you up. He said, fuck you. Come in here and play in my shit. You want to play in my shit, don't you? I said, no, and I'm not going to. So I opened the trap door. I said, Rodney, whatever his last name was. I said, I need you to turn around, come back, put your hands backwards through the doors to cuff up like you always do. Because anytime we took him in and out of that cell, y'all, that's how it was, because he was a high-risk guy. He said, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. I said, Rodney, turn around, put your hands through the door to cuff up. Fuck you, fuck you. The rules were I had to give him three warnings. And the third warning is, Rodney, it's your last chance. You're not going to like what I'm about to do to you. I need you to turn around, come back, put your hands through the trap door to cuff up. He said, fuck you, I'm not doing this. Okay. So I took out my Freeze Plus P and I sprayed a generous amount of Freeze Plus P through the trap door opening. Now, you've heard me talk about Freeze Plus P before, okay? Freeze Plus P is tear gas plus pepper spray mixed together, right? And it's the gift that keeps on giving. And you, when you first get sprayed, if you get hit in the face with it and you first get sprayed, you know, like a minute and a half, you think it's not so bad, I can handle this, et cetera. When you spray it in a general vicinity of the person, like if I spray you, we're on the street and I spray you in the face and I still have to fight you and handcuff you, I'm breathing it and it's going to hurt me also. But if you spray it in a room like that, an enclosed room, then eventually they're going to get the full effect of it. So what happens, the first thing is it takes your breath away. It makes you feel like you can't breathe. What you can breathe is called fake drowning breath, right? And then it's going to aggravate your eyes and your nostrils and everything and make you involuntarily close your eyes. And basically it can make Arnold Schwarzenegger in his baddest day be a little bitch. Okay, and that's like on the street when I spray them. On the force continuum, you can use spray right after verbal commands. It's spray is before you actually put your hands on somebody. Force continuum being the rules. So the trap door is open. The shit smell is rampant. He's in there screaming, raising all kinds of hell. So I just took my Freeze Plus Pee out. I just... I'm doing it back and forth. And then I shut the door and I locked it. And I left. And remember, we didn't have video cameras in the cells at the time. I went back up to control center. I'm listening to his cell. And he starts with, you know, he's still cursing, hollering and then it makes you where you can't talk or anything, right? And then he's coughing and hacking, and he starts crying, and, oh, I give up. So I'm like, all right, guys, let's go back down there. So we go down there and open the trap door, peek through, all the shit's everywhere. Rodney is sitting on the floor, butt fucking naked, covered in shit, crying now because he can't breathe. Now we're all having to breathe the same shit. My eyes are burning, my nose is running, et cetera. So I'm like, handcuffs and shackles ready? Yes. I popped the door. I called in, popped the door. They popped the cell door, and we have to go in. And he is literally rubbed shit all over. I'm talking about human feces out of his ass, all over the walls, and he's covered his whole body in it. And this was a big dude, okay? Like, 400 pounds might be conservative, but he's laying on the floor being passive aggressive. I said, Rodney, stand up, turn around, put your hands behind your back. Fuck you, I ain't doing nothing. You carry me out. Well, this wasn't the first time we had to carry Rodney out of a cell. So we gloved up. We go in, no mask, just hand gloves, et cetera. We literally have to put our hands on this kid or this young man, turn him over, handcuff him. And actually, he was so big, we had to use two pairs of handcuffs because his arms wouldn't extend behind his back enough. So we had to put a cuff on one hand, cuff on the other hand, and bring the two pairs of cuffs together and snap them together in the middle. And once we did that, pull him out. Of course, we're getting shit everywhere. Pull him out and then take him down to a shower, naturally. Stand there and shower him, getting shit all over us during the shower. The difference between a juvenile detention center and a regular prison is you have trustees that you can stand there and make while you supervise them showering all the shit off of, because this happens in adult prisons also, the passive aggressive, right? And so we had to do it. So we're standing there, had to shower him down, get the shit off of him till he finally starts to calm down, et cetera, and he agrees to wash himself. So we release him, the cuffs, have the freeze plus be at ready in case he wants to buck up. And then, shit, he flips the switch. And that's how it always was. He flips the switch from the burning and the being passive aggressive to, hey, how y'all doing? And I really do think it was mental. I know obviously had a mental issue. But it didn't change the fact that my staff was going home safe at the end of the day, because you never knew what he was going to do. Remember, he's in for raping his grandmother, beating her, and putting her in the trunk of a car. So he flips the switch when he gets past the worst of freeze plus P. We're able to uncuff him. He starts washing his own body and everything. We gave him shampoo and he's washing. He's just laughing and having a good time. Hey, how you doing? Hey, yeah. He said, ooh, this was kind of cool. I'm going to get in here like I stole something. I'm going to hit it fast like I stole something. Sorry.
It's springtime, boys. The grass is green, the birds are chirping, and the kids will be out of school soon. That makes it the perfect time to plan a family vacation. And we know from the stories we cover that this is not exactly the time to take the family to the Caribbean. You don't want to end up in the middle of some cartel drug shootout. So this year, it's time to take an international journey. And of course, a big international trip is just one reason to learn a new language with Rosetta Stone. You might have a different one. Maybe you want to connect with family or friends living overseas. Maybe you want to acquire a new skill for work or better understand a certain culture. Rosetta Stone has helped me have fun with my mother and at least have partial conversations in Italian after only a few lessons.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and many more. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Intuitive process, you pick up a language naturally. Designed for long-term retention. Speech recognition, the true accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Rosetta Stone is convenient and an amazing value.
That's right, Woody. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Real Life Real Crime and Daily Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Sayonara.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No, that's what I'm going to do. I said, good, cuz. You get it in and you hit it like you want to, right? Hit it like you stole it. I'm thinking, get your ass done so we can put you on a sect here and continue your duties. So get through, get him out, let him dry himself off, et cetera, and give him a new pair of drawers and a new outfit, if you will, jumpsuit. And then we take him down and put him in the new admin seg wing, the last cell on the left in case he shit himself again and did it. So it wouldn't be so bad for other people who were walking in to check the other cells, right? The smell and everything. Put him in there just as cool as he could be about it. I guess he just had a moment. He wanted to beat off in front of he knew it was a female sergeant or correction officer. I was coming around to check, and he knew that. He, somewhere in his disturbed young mind, he wanted to have that sexual relief where somebody, some female, was looking in on him and he could ruin their night and ultimately end up ruining mine. But that's the way it was, right? So we get him secure in that cell, have to go out. I have to write him up for all the different rule violations. Now, that's important because it goes to show the mindset when I write him up about everything he's done. All this goes to the judge. And when you go to juvenile court, there's nobody allowed in the courtroom except for the prosecutor, the defense attorney, the judge, and the officers, right? They kick everybody else out. And so, but the judge gets all this. And, you know, he was masturbating to a female officer. He resisted and said, fuck you. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that, et cetera. We had to go down. We had to use force, the force being the freeze plus P, which is second on the force continuum, et cetera. The whole process, you know. And so it carries over to where, and I don't know what happened to Rodney. I really don't. I'm sure he's probably a fine trustee in Angola right now. But that carried forward to when the judge heard his trial on raping and beating his grandmother. If he didn't take a plea, all his write-ups, everything he did wrong inside got sent to the judge also. Or if he had done correct, if he had been great in there the whole time, you still had to do a write-up at the end of the thing and send it to the judge, right? But long and short of it is, that night, and I'll never forget it, or the next morning, it must have been a Sunday because it was Friday, Saturday. We worked two on, two off, three on, two off, three on, two off. So I just remember getting home. I didn't have to work that night, and I cracked a beer, and I went to sit down in my lounge chair. My oldest daughter was just a baby at the time. And she was still sleeping. I said, you know what? I'm going to have me a beer, watch a little bit of CNN or Fox or whatever it was. And so I sat down, poured my ice cold beer, kicked my recliner up, and I had on, we had uniforms, y'all. We had white tops with a badge on the shirt, black pants with a red stripe down the side, and I always wore combat boots from my days in the Army, which I kept shining. And I put my shit up, my feet up in the chair and turn on the TV, and I'm sitting there and I'm start to have a sip of my beer and I smell a little something. And I look down and on my left foot, top right side, is some of Rodney's shit. Because it was like green and brown. And now how in the hell I walked around the rest of that 12-hour shift because I thought I washed everything, right? And I washed him in the shower and everything else. How in the hell that turd literally carried itself home from the detention center inside my house to me getting a beer, stepping across the carpeted floor, putting my feet up in the recliner, popping my top on my cold one, putting my feet up, looking down and seeing and smelling Rodney shit on my boot. And there it was. So, you know, I took my shit off and threw it outside, whatever, it doesn't matter. But these are some things that y'all need to know As true crime fans, true crime just doesn't happen in the street. True crime carries on to the correction settings, to the courtroom settings, to all the things you don't see about on Discovery ID or hear about on, you know, bullshit shows like The Tiger King, what Joe, whatever his name, is experiencing every day in his cell, right? Anyway, just thought I'd share that one with y'all. So, Patreon members, I love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you for your support. If it wasn't for you, I would not have a show. Thank you. That's it. And I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. Until next time or ever, don't let me catch you down on Murder Bayou. Peace.
Hey, y'all, it's producer Jim Chapman. Woody wanted me to make sure that I included in this episode our visit to Louisiana Pet Crematory and Parish Forensics. These folks are really good friends of ours and supporters of what we do, not only with Real Life Real Crime Daily, but Real Life Real Crime Original. So Woody, Mike, and myself sat down and we did a little interview with Roy and the two Christens who are kind of lead the team over there at Parish Forensics and Louisiana Pet Crematorium. We thought the lifers would enjoy hearing that interview. So here it is, our interview with Roy and the two Christens at Louisiana Pet Crematory and Parish Forensics.
Recording from Parish Forensics and Louisiana Pet Crematory. Yes. And guess what? We have the Roy and the two Christens with us.
For all of you folks out there who thought they didn't exist,
right?
They were just names we made up.
Now you know.
We're here today to prove that Roy and the two Christens are real.
Y'all want to say hello?
Say a quick hello.
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 We're real.
Hello. We're good real. Morning.
They do exist.
Right. So, y'all, it's Roy and Kristen. Kristen, and evidently, like names, I screwed up hair color. And I said before I was talking about it, I said that one black and one brown.
Yeah.
Have brown hair, for the record.
We're qualifying your hair as brown?
Yes.
I always thought it was black.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Roy on that. I'm thinking black.
I'm thinking black and light black. So.
I'm no expert on hair, so.
Jim's is natural, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Y'all,
I'm a natural bald.
You're not going to believe this facility that they have here in Broussard. We're going to do a lot of videos and pictures and post them on social media, so you'll get to actually see the products we've been talking about. And Roy, I know that you can give us a little bit about history about the business.
Yeah, so Parish Forensics was originally Louisiana Forensics Center, which began in 2007. I think around 2014, we built a new facility. In doing so, we decided to build an on-site funeral home with two on-site crematories. It was around 2020 when we decided to move into the pet arena. And so we have two on-site human crematories and two on-site pet crematories, all of which, all three businesses are separate but on the same location, kind of like a one-stop shop for death, if you will.
Right.
let us do the branding, right? I don't think we want to go with that one.
That's a steady business, right? And but it's a beautiful facility, several buildings here, and you employ over 20-something people, you said?
Yeah, just over 20, I believe.
Like this morning, you brought us some great boudin and evangeline bread. But they had a death investigator from Washington Parish in.
Right.
So you get them from all over the state and that on that side as far as autopsies.
Right. For Parish Forensics, we serve roughly 20 or 22 parishes for their autopsy service. And so every day we may have investigators, both medical legal investigators from the coroner's office as well as law enforcement investigators here from all over the state here to view their autopsies.
Right. It's pretty amazing, right?
Yeah, it really is.
I think it's awesome that you're going to let me use the scalpel I brought today and do a first incision. I mean, the first few inches don't matter that much, right? So if I go outside the lines a little bit. But actually, last night, one of the things you said that really struck with me, and I thought, yeah, of course, was when you said that the folks who are dealing with the deceased pets are a lot more emotional than the folks who are
right.
here
right.
For funerals. So people do love their doggies.
Yeah. Her babies.
Right. And I have a bunch of them. So Kristen, tell us what you do.
So I am a licensed funeral director and embalmer, and then I'm also the general manager over all three companies, the funeral home, the forensic center, and the crematory.
I mean, you look like you're 18 years
old. She's like, she's like Chick Dexter.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that keeps you busy, right?
It keeps me very busy.
Right.
Management is way harder than being a funeral director.
Yeah, dealing with people. I get it. Miss Kristen?
I am the brand manager and like the marketing manager. So I'm just overseeing the branding and the marketing and kind of like the design aspect of all three companies. So that just kind of encompasses everything. I started out in the forensic side and helping with autopsies in the beginning, but now I've transitioned into marketing.
Right.
She's like really wherever we need her.
To just omnipresence. Yeah.
You've done a lot of stuff to make sort of death cool. Like that, your marketing is decidedly different than a funeral home's traditional marketing.
We try to be. Yep. We try to be for sure.
Did you do the marketing like for the stickers and all that stuff? So y'all, when I went to the LOPA and the Coroner's conference that Roy and the two Christians had the table set up, some of the coolest stickers. And I was like, damn, I meant to get some before I left. So we can get some today and we'll post the pictures of them. The true crime fans are going to love it.
Well, I'll just say about the marketing aspect, kind of what you're saying with the coolness and tying it all into death, which is hard to do because right. we are compassionate about our families. Like we love the families we serve. We know they're going through a tough time, but right. at the same time, we know that death is a part of life and right. we try and we want people to just know that we're just like them. I mean, we lose people too. We try to bring them in. We try to talk about those memories and have those good conversations and have them leaving with a light heart, those laughs that we can get in when they're going through tough times. Those are the best ones. So, yeah. You know, although we try and take a slightly humorous approach and make it fun and interesting because we know people are interested in this topic, you know, it doesn't take away from the fact that we really care about the families that come in here. Sure.
Absolutely. And you see the families on their worst days, yeah. right? And one of the hardest things I ever had to do as a homicide detective is go tell people their loved ones have been murdered. Yeah. And then y'all deal with it from the, you know, the autopsy and the funeral yeah. side and everything else. So but it's awesome, you know, what y'all do and putting your own personal touch on it. But still being caring and yeah. compassionate and all that. And Roy, you've been doing this forever, right?
Right. I've been in the industry since 1999. But for those of you who really don't understand exactly what we do, Louisiana is 100% coroner state. We have 64 parishes. Some of you may call them counties, but here they're parishes. And we have 64 coroners. And each coroner can utilize whatever autopsy resources they choose. We are the only privately owned forensic autopsy company in the state that provides services to coroners, hospitals, and the general public alike. Wow. So it's a little different. It's a lot different, really, from a medical examiner's system. But we've been very, very fortunate that a lot of the coroners around the state put their trust in us for their autopsy services. So at the end of the day, we provide them with a solid opinion on cause and manner of death, which some family members are good with and sometimes they're not. It's tough to right. Tell a mom that, you know, it was suicide when she thought it was, you know, something different.
Right. So, I mean, no one wants to believe their child or their loved one, and I had to deal with that a lot over the years.
Right.
Went out. For any other reason, then they don't want to accept the fact. But you provide the clear truth through science and what have you, right? Pretty
pretty amazing.
And you have those families that you really get close to, because we had an incident where a young man died of an overdose, and he was at the forensic center, and they chose to use us for cremation services. Right. So we brought him into our care, and me and his mom have formed a really good relationship, just never even really speaking over the telephone,
right,
back and forth via email. She knew what path her son was going down, and she kind of already knew what had happened and what to expect, but she having us to kind of guide her through this part, and she was really lighthearted about it. Every time we talked, we would kind of laugh and joke and go back and forth, and she was just super appreciative of everything. So
that's,
you do
awesome,
have those two who kind of expect it and can deal with it.
Speaking of overdose, and if I could, I think we touched briefly on this last night. Parish Forensics has acquired a piece of technology, one of the only kind in Louisiana, where it is a toxicology machine that we can get qualitative and qualitative, meaning we can figure out what drug is in the system and how much of it is in the system. What's unique about it, it's a rapid toxicology machine. So if we have a suspected overdose, we can insert blood of the decedent into the machine, and within 30 minutes time have the drug identified and the amount.
Wow.
Which is incredibly important because of this uptick in overdoses we're seeing, particularly from fentanyl.
Right. Yes. Right.
This is allowing coroners to make a solid decision moving forward if they need an autopsy or not.
Right.
But more importantly, investigators, if they have a suspect that they know or they suspect provided the decedent with the fentanyl and has that drug on their person, we can let them know rapidly. Right. If that drug is in there.
Traditionally, how long would that have taken?
Well, it used to, before this epidemic began, we would get tox back within 7 to 10 days. But now, nationwide, it's such an issue. It's backed tox up to 6 to 8 weeks now.
Right.
Mm. Wow.
And this is what I was talking about, y'all. Yeah. One of the innovations that you have as a company. I wish, like on Courtney Coco's case, that we'd have had that. That case would have never been cold. It would have been worked as a homicide, not said accidental. And there's so many cases and so many families that reach out. But I think of all the scenes I've been on, and the man, if we could have had that, it would have been just tremendous.
It's going to be a great tool. That's really going to change the face.
It cuts out a lot of the, as you said, from an investigator standpoint, but it cuts out the families grieving that question, and my kid wouldn't die from overdose. Somebody must have strangled him or whatever. Right. Right? And you say whether they like it or not. But I think that's going to be a game changer from an investigator standpoint.
We do as well.
Yeah. So
y'all are so normal.
Yeah.
It's
you're
no,
not.
No, we,
yeah.
Well, yes, I'm definitely the strangest of the six of us gathered here, but. We had fun time last night going out to dinner together and really getting to know each other. But the picture that you have in your head of people that work in this industry is they're a little bit off.
Right.
We talked last night about there maybe being a couple of those people running around the building. But you're around the industry a lot. You go to a lot of these trade association events and stuff. Are most people in your position pretty normal, or is there a lot of weird out there?
I guess that's subjective.
You have to find normal, and you can't do that, Mike.
I think right? Stereotypes, which is not accurate.
Yeah,
like we don't drive around hearse for a living.
Yeah,
like we don't take a hearse home to our house.
You would look good in a hearse. I think you should.
I do wear a lot of black, but not like heavy metal black.
Yeah, I guess aside from wearing all black. We're fairly normal, yes. I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. We do take a more laid-back approach here, though, than your traditional average funeral home. So I think a lot of people in the community need that.
Too. Yeah.
Just not having some grumpy person in a suit staring across a table from you.
Right.
Waiting for you to give them what you want. We try and make it normal for them to come in here and not be scared or intimidated, or they can feel at home.
Well,
Well, that, and we really strive to provide families with affordable services. You know, cremation has taken over the traditional burial options, and we have so much to offer families here, what we consider to be the non-traditional options. We just like to have the family feel at home, know that they're not being taken advantage of, not that any funeral home takes advantages of.
Well, there was families. That one in Colorado that maybe took slight advantage of some families.
We're going to talk about our new segment, Ask Roy.
But we like to think we're doing a good job all around, providing families with answers and comfort and closure.
So, Roy, you and I were talking a couple weeks back about something that I think the audience will have a lot of interest in. That's pretty unique in the use of a new boat that you guys have acquired and being able to go and do some burials at sea.
That's correct. Well, we're going to call it unattended burials at sea.
Unattended burials,
which means we're not going to bring family out with us, but for families that select this option, we'll take their loved ones' cremated remains. We will respectfully lower their loved ones' remains into the water, all the while videoing the whole process.
Really? That's cool.
Once the remains are released, we'll mark the GPS coordinates. We will provide the family with a certificate of burial with the coordinates of which way where they are. And they'll get a memorial video and the certificate. Wow. I know this is being done in some other areas of the country, but it's certainly not being done here in Louisiana. So we're looking to pave the way once again and give families a different option. And what's really cool about this option is that you don't have to use our funeral home for the cremation. You can be in Iowa, right?
Right.
And if you feel that your loved one would have preferred this option, you can mail us your loved one's remains, and we can facilitate the burial here.
Hey, that's crazy. I'm a big diver and I'm a water baby. So first of all, I want that option. Sign me up for it. But the years ago, in Cozumel, one of my buddies runs a dive shop, and when some swim throughs on the reef, they had put somebody's cremains inside the reef. It was a big diver, and every year his family would go down and do it. Yeah. So you give them the GPS coordinates. That's super cool. But one more question real quick. What's the name of the boat? At one time, I got a name.
I hadn't named it yet.
Okay, well, then hold on to it.
That new.
Yeah, all right. Because one time I had five boats in the yard. My wife said, "You got to sell some of these boats."
Well, if I name it something Louisiana, my wife will probably want to kill me. All the companies are named after Louisiana. Right. But I wanted to do that option, Woody. I wanted to explore the Eternal Reef.
Right.
But here in Louisiana, we can't. The waterway where we are, it's mud.
Yeah.
It's not sand. It's mud.
Right, right.
And it's murky. So eventually, you know, the reef would just submerge itself in the mud.
Right.
They do that in Florida, though, which is a really neat option. And divers can go out and memorialize their loved one at these reefs.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And that's what I was going to say, that it is done in a lot of tropical areas. We initially thought about it. We wanted to tie it into our bayou life. There are stipulations and scattering in waterways. So, you know, the closest we can get to bayou style is Gulf of Mexico to be within that scope.
And if you can find one of those artificial reefs and put myself, you know, and then my kids can come fish over me.
Yeah, that's right. That's cool.
But anyway, hey, thank y'all so much for having us. We're going to get into the regular show, but y'all are awesome. Thank you for the partnership and sponsoring us and being cool people, right?
100%.
Absolutely.
Thank you guys.
Appreciate you guys.
Yes. Every morning I try to listen to the show most mornings, and to actually get to talk with you guys has been a real treat.
Right. I love that.
Well, I told her last night that it's kind of like Love is Blind, the reality show. It's like I'm finally meeting the face to the voice.
The face to the voice.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, very cool. We enjoyed it, and, you know, beautiful facility here, and we back y'all 1,000%.
Well, and in our case, it's good that love is blind. And I know how you were talking last night about how busy you are and that you found fast forwarding through gym segments allows you to keep up with the show on a daily basis, Kristen.
Whatever.
So I recommend you continue to do that. You'll be able to get through them in 30 minutes or so.
I have to listen to Woody on a faster speed.
Oh, yeah? The 1.5?
Yes, yeah. It's all good, as long as you listen.
That's right.
After you guys show, y'all can come join us in the morgue. We have a surprise for Jim.
Oh.
Outstanding.
Hey, we'll make sure to post it. So,
looking forward to it.
Thank you, Roy, and thank you, Kristen and Kristen.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks,
y'all.
Brown hair. Thanks, black hair.
Anytime.
All right.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to or during any question. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. Do you understand your rights?
When the wolf is at your door, your running's over, that's for sure.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.